Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something really interesting in the gaming world. It's about breaking down walls, you know? Platform walls.
Yeah, specifically for one of the biggest games out there, Minecraft, we're looking at a community project, not some big company thing.
Right. It's called Pojov Launcher. And the core idea is, while it sounds almost impossible, running the full desktop version of Minecraft, the Java edition, on a phone.
Exactly. Our sources, especially around pojovlauncherdl.com, they all point to this amazing feat. It's about getting that specific PC experience onto mobile.
Which is huge for players who love the flexibility of Java. So, okay, the aha moment isn't just, oh, Minecraft on my phone, because we have that already, right?
We do, but this is different. This is Java edition.
Yeah.
It normally runs on, you know, the Java virtual machine heavy, needs memory, built for desktop PCs, usually by 86 architecture.
And phones are mostly ARM chips, completely different setup. So the community somehow got this complex, resource-hungry desktop program running on phone hardware. We really need to dig into how they manage that.
Yeah, it's not just a simple port. The Pojov Launcher site makes that clear. It's a serious effort to bridge these two very different computing environments. We want to understand the tech, who can use it, and crucially, what it actually lets you do.
Okay, let's start there. Part one, the platform shift itself. Why is getting Java Edition onto mobile such a big deal compared to just playing the regular mobile Minecraft?
It really comes down to the game's engine and Java itself. Most people playing Minecraft on their phone are using the Bedrock edition.
Right.
And Bedrock is built differently. It's written C++R. It's optimized, designed to be lean, specifically for those mobile ARM processors. Doesn't need a ton of memory overhead.
Okay, so Bedrock is native, streamlined.
Pretty much. Java Edition is the opposite. Like we said, it needs that Java virtual machine, the JVM.
Which is like a middleman.
Sort of, yeah. Think of it like a heavy translation layer or even a mini operating system just for running the game code. Mm-hmm. And the JVM needs way more RAM, more processing power than the native C++ code in Bedrock. Plus, it was always designed for desktop by 86 chips.
So Pojov Launcher isn't just running the game code. It's also handling this huge architectural translation. Getting desktop software onto mobile architecture? I mean, that sounds incredibly unstable, like it would crash constantly.
That is the core challenge, absolutely. The Pojov Launcher project basically bundles a special adapted JVM that's tweaked for mobile CPUs. It has to manage memory really carefully.
Dynamically, you mean?
Exactly, dynamically. The whole idea is keeping that Java environment intact, but somehow minimizing how many resources it eats up because phones just don't have the same amount of RAM as a desktop usually.
Right, okay. That makes sense. So who gets to use this? Is it just for Android or?
No, and this is key. The documentation shows they've targeted both big mobile platforms, Android and iOS.
Oh, wow, both.
Yep.
Which is really important for getting it to as many players as possible. Doesn't matter if you're on an open Android phone or a locked down iPhone, the aim is to give you access to that full Java community.
Okay, that's impressive reach. But the big question for anyone hearing this is probably, does it feel like Java? Does it actually run well enough? Which takes us right into part two. Getting those desktop features onto mobile, why go through all this technical pain? What does this unlock that you just couldn't get with Bedrock on your phone?
Right, because Bedrock is fine for basic play. But the real reason is, it's about customization in the community.
Okay.
See, Bedrock has its own servers, its own marketplace, its own way of doing add-ons. But the huge world of community-made stuff, the mods, the giant servers that have kept Minecraft going for like a decade plus, most of that is Java exclusive.
Okay, let's get specific then. Because Minecraft's longevity for a lot of players really hangs on things Bedrock doesn't do as well. Feature one.
True server access. With Pojov Launcher, you're not stuck with just the official Bedrock servers or realms. You can actually log into those massive, complex, community-run Java servers.
You mean like Hypixel? Or those really deep survival ones?
Exactly. The ones with thousands of players, custom games, intricate economies, complex anti-cheat. That whole social universe, you can access it from your phone now.
Okay, that's huge. And feature two, I'm guessing this is the big one. Mods. The Java modding scene is legendary.
Absolutely. And we're not just talking about changing textures or adding a new block here and there. Pojov Launcher lets you install proper mod loaders, like Fabric and Forge.
Wait, seriously? Forge? On a phone?
Yes. Which means you can potentially run those enormous tech mods, the magic nods, entire dimension packs, the kind of stuff that completely transforms Minecraft into, well, a totally different game sometimes.
Hold on, let me push back a bit here. Those big mod packs... Forge packs with hundreds of mods, they can make high-end gaming PCs struggle, right? They eat memory like crazy. How on earth does a phone handle that without just, you know, melting? Is it actually playable or more like a tech demo?
That's a fair question, a really important one. And the sources do acknowledge, yeah, performance and stability are definitely ongoing challenges. You have to fiddle with settings, manage memory carefully.
So it's not perfect.
It's not plug and play max settings, no, especially not on older or lower end phones. The open source nature means people are constantly tweaking it, optimizing it for different chips, but you probably won't be running, say, ultra shaders and a 500 mod pack at a smooth 60 FPS.
Okay, so what's the real goal then, if not perfect performance?
The goal is access. It's feature parity. Maybe you can't run the absolute heaviest pack flawlessly, but you can run many mods. You can check on your automated factory in your modded world, or manage your server stuff, or just tweak your inventory when you're not at your main computer.
Ah, okay, so it's about flexibility. Being able to dip into your Java world from anywhere, even if it's not always the highest performance experience.
Exactly. It delivers the capability to use those mods and servers, that ability to switch between desktop and mobile without being locked out of your specific Java setup. That's the payoff.
That context is crucial. So it's about bringing the depth of Java customization, the online community, to your phone, even with some compromises. Okay, this leads perfectly into understanding how this was even possible. Part 3. Let's look under the hood at the community and the whole development approach.
Yeah, and this is maybe the coolest part. PoChuff Launcher wasn't bankrolled by Mojang or Microsoft. It's entirely open source, community built, community driven, and that decision shapes everything.
The sources really emphasize that open source aspect. It's not just a buzzword here. It means total transparency, right? And it lets developers anywhere jump in and fix very specific, very technical problems, stuff a big company might ignore because it's not, you know, profitable enough to focus on.
That's exactly the technical edge it has. Because the code is open, really skilled devs can zoom in on optimization for, say, one specific mobile chip, like a particular Snapdragon version or one of Apple's A-series chips. They're tackling those exact architectural problems we talked about earlier.
Yep, bit by bit, yeah.
They're not trying to hit a quarterly target. They're trying to play the game the way they want to play it, and they're sharing the solution.
So being open source here means faster iteration, really targeted problem solving. It's built by the fans who need it, for the fans. Fans who happen to have the serious technical chops to pull off something this ambitious.
Precisely. They're not just making an app. They're building and maintaining a bridge between gaming worlds. They understand that keeping the original Java experience, warts and all, including running complex, sometimes unoptimized mod code is the whole point. If a corporation tried this officially, they'd probably lock it down, streamline it too much.
Lose the chaos, lose the magic.
Kinda, yeah. The community chose to embrace the full, messy, wonderful complexity of Java.
So wrapping up the why here. This whole project is basically the gaming community saying, we want to play Java Edition anywhere. And when the official channels didn't provide it, they just built it themselves through open collaboration. It really shows how much power users have now to shape their own software experience.
So to summarize, PoJava Launcher isn't just some novelty app. It's a really powerful example of community development breaking down platform walls. It brings those key desktop features, mods, servers to both Android and iOS. It fundamentally shifts control towards the players.
Which leaves us with a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. If an open source community project can build custom virtual machines and translation layers to get one of the world's most complex games running across completely different architectures, what does that really mean for the future of platform exclusivity?
Yeah, or even forced hardware upgrades.
Right. Does this mean that passionate developers can now basically bypass almost any technical barrier a company puts up? Could we be heading towards a future where software has to compete purely on its own merit, not just because it's locked to one device or ecosystem?
Something to think about, that level of engineering freedom driven by the community itself.
Definitely. Mull that over, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.